الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم وقال تعالى وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا والصلح خير وأحضرت الأنفس الشح وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected mothers and sisters, honorable listeners, today for our topic on seerah, previously we've discussed regarding the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We spoke about Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. We spoke a little bit about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And today, going in the order and the sequence, today inshallah we will discuss about Sauda radiallahu anha, the wife, one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose name was Sauda, known as Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu ta'ala anha. As far as historians write, there is difference amongst them. When did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marry Hazrat Sauda? So we do know for sure Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first wife. When Khadija radiallahu anha had passed away in the 10th year of Nubuwat, it was the month of Ramadan, then in the month of Shawwal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarried. There is difference of opinion amongst the historians. Who did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam marry first? Aisha radiallahu anha or Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha? However, majority are of the opinion that Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam had married Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha first, as is mentioned by Allama Zarqani rahimahullah. He says the preferred and more authentic version and view is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam married Sauda radiallahu anha before Aisha radiallahu anha. Because their marriage dates were so close, both of them were married in the month of Shawwal, hence there exists this difference of opinion. But the preferred view is Sauda radiallahu anha was married first, and many historians have followed this view and regard her, Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha, to be the second wife or the second woman who came into the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regarding who Sauda radiallahu anha was, just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam belonged to the Quraysh tribe, in a very similar way, Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha was also part of the Quraysh tribe. Her father was Quraysh. She was known as Sauda bint Zam'a, Sauda bint Zam'a, bin Qais, bin Abd Shams, bin Abd Wud, bin Nasr, bin Malik. Eventually, Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha, their lineages meet up at Nu'ay bin Ghalib. And her mother was from the Ansar. She was an Ansari woman, a woman who belonged to the Ansari tribes. So this was Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha's lineage. She was of high lineage. She was part of the Quraysh. Then she accepted Islam in the beginning, meaning when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced his nubuwwat in the beginning, she was amongst the former people, the first people to accept the invitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she became Muslim. Previously, prior to marrying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was married to her cousin. Regarding her first marriage, she was married to her cousin whose name was Sakran bin Amr. We famously know and hear of a man by the name of Suhail bin Amr, who was amongst the leaders of the Quraysh and the Kufar army, and he represented the Kufar on different occasions, especially during the occasion of Hudaybiyah. But later on he accepted Islam. So Sakran bin Amr was the brother of Suhail bin Amr, and Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha was originally married to Sakran bin Amr, who was her cousin. On this point, it's important for us to learn and understand that Sauda radiallahu anha was married to her cousin. Then we find many instances in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum where they married their own relatives, their first cousins. A first cousin is not a person's mahram in Islam. Your mahram is like, for a woman, her brother, her father, her grandparents, her uncles, father's brothers, mother's brothers, they become her mahram. But as far as her cousins are concerned, then parda is applicable. A person has to make parda from those cousins. In essence, a person can marry, a woman can marry her cousin, although as close as they seem and as connected and family as they seem, but it's permissible and correct for a person to marry off the cousin. There's nothing wrong with that. We find many examples of this in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here we have one example where Sauda radiallahu anha was married off to a cousin whose name was Sakran bin Amr. They accepted Islam in the beginning and the Muslims were suffering persecution. As a result of that difficulty, the hardships that they were going through in Makkah Mukarramah, they had to travel and migrate to Habasha and Abyssinia. So when this group migrated, amongst those who were part of this migration, amongst the Muslims who moved, Hazrat Sakran radiallahu anhu, as well as his wife Sauda radiallahu anha, had also migrated to Habasha and to Abyssinia. They stayed there for some time, until the time came when they had to return. On return, when they were coming back, then en route, before they had reached Makkah Mukarramah, Sakran radiallahu ta'ala anhu had passed on. He breathed his last, and as a result, Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha was now a widow. Then we come to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha when she passed away in the 10th year. After she left this world, then there was a woman by the name of Khawla binti Hakim. Khawla binti Hakim had come up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she told him that, "I noticed that you were extremely grieved. You are grief-stricken. There's worry and sort of anxiety that has overcome you." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that, "Yes, I was married. I had Khadija radiallahu anha. Now there are so many responsibilities of the house as well as my children. And when she was alive, she took full care of all this. And any person, any man who is blessed with such a wonderful wife would be affected in this type of a situation." So Khawla binti Hakim radiallahu anha, she suggests and she says, "Ya Rasulullah, let me arrange for you to remarry and settle down so all these affairs can be taken good care of." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her that, "You intend taking me, who do you have in mind?" So she says that, "If you want a virgin woman who hasn't been married before, then the daughter of your friend Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is available," meaning Aisha. "And if you want a woman who's already married, then Sauda is also available. She accepted Islam on your hands. Now she's a widow. And her husband has passed on. She also would look to settle down." So Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told Khawla binti Hakim that, "You go ahead and take both the proposals." So she went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu, to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Hazrat, she went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's mother, Umm Ruman, and presented that. We discussed it already. Nevertheless, she also came to Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha and presented that, "Listen, I've come with a good message for you, with glad tidings for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has requested or has given me permission to put a proposal on his behalf. Would you accept?" Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha's immediate response was that, "I've got no objection to this. Who would ever turn down such an opportunity? By all means, I'm happy. I got no excuse to turn away this offer. But nevertheless, my father is alive. I suggest that you go to my father and you pass this message on to him. he is still accustomed to the greetings of Jahiliyyah. So greet him with this greeting, An'im Sabaha, that may you have a beautiful morning. Greet him in this way, and then tell him the request and the proposal that you've brought. Again, we understand importance. This is the haya of a woman, and this is what Islam also teaches us, that no woman should just do things on her own, find her own partner, arrange her own marriage. Rather, the right thing would be to always go with our elders, as has been explained in the hadith, al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum. Baraka, blessings, goodness, all lies with your elders. It lies with people who are elder than you. Sometimes we, on our emotion, we feel like doing something and we think that's the right thing because our sight, our vision, our intelligence is limited. These people have a lot more experience. They haven't grown gray for no reason. The right thing would always be to pass it through them, let it go through them. So she says, she could have done it herself. She was a senior woman. She had age to her credit. She was married previously. She could have taken things into her own hands. But despite her having good years to her credit, having experience with her, but she says, go to my father and ask him. So Khula binti Hakim goes to the father of Sauda radiallahu anha, and she explains to him that this is the proposal that has come, that Muhammad bin Abdullah has proposed for your daughter Sauda. So the father says, this is excellent news. This is brilliant news. I've got no problem with this. But because my daughter is not a minor, she's mature, she's married before, what do you say? Please take the message to Khawla as well. Take the message to Sauda as well and see what she says. As the Khawla says, and they've already taken the message to her, she's happy. And like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then married to Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Sauda, from her previous marriage of Sakran bin Amr, they had a son whose name was Abdul Rahman. Abdul Rahman also accepted Islam and became shaheed in a battle known the Battle of Jalula. Jalula is a place in Iraq which was conquered during the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Battle of Jalula had taken place after the Battle of Qadisiyah, and the Roman army had then taken refuge in this place, Jalula, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu sent his forces to lay siege to the city of Jalula. And they laid siege. After many months, they had gained victory. But in that battle, Abdul Rahman, who was the son of Sauda radiallahu anha from a previous marriage, he had become shaheed. He accepted Islam and he became shaheed on this occasion. Nevertheless, another point to consider is when the proposal of Sauda radiallahu anha was brought to her father, he accepted. Sauda radiallahu anha also accepted it, and thereafter she got married. But her brother, the brother of Sauda radiallahu anha, His name was Abdullah bin Zam'a. She was Sauda bin Zam'a. His name was Abdullah bin Zam'a. He says, at the time when the proposal had come for my sister, I was not Muslim. And because of being with the Kufar, with the Quraysh, and being in their midst and in their environment, they were rejecting and they were causing harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was not too happy with this proposal. I didn't want my sister to get married to Muhammad bin Abdullah, so-called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the pressure that we would have received from community. I wasn't happy whatsoever. He was not Muslim at the time. Later on, he accepted Islam, and he himself says that whenever my mind went towards the regret that I had shown on that proposal, I broke down into a shiver. It brought tears to my eyes. It made me frightened. I was gripped with scare because of the regret that I had shown once upon a time. At that time I was different, I was not Muslim. Later on when I accepted Islam, this was the greatest honor that could ever come into our family, that my sister was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we understand from this incident is, at times, community, at times people around us, family, friends, peer pressure, people may not like certain things, or they may be disliking someone. And someone might say he's too pious, someone might say he's too rigid, someone might say he's too by the book, and whatever else. People will make a lot of comments, but a lot of times we don't see the picture in the beginning, like it happened with Abdullah bin Zam'a. He didn't know what was the ideal thing. He thought that why should his sister get married to a person who is being reviled, who is being rejected, who people want to throw out. But eventually he regretted that decision. The right thing would be, in our time, our age and time, that we refer these type of affairs to deen, to the sunnah, to the Quran and sunnah, to the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the elders and the pious of the time, rather than making a choice today and regretting over that choice tomorrow. Important that sometimes we may be so busy picking up stones that we might lose a diamond. We may be so busy picking up stones that we may lose sight of a diamond, and then it's too late. Later on we're going to be filled with regrets. The right thing would be, rather than following what community says, what the world says, what are the demands of the time, the right thing is always to keep deen in front. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he advised on choosing a partner, then he said, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. People will get married for various reasons. Some for fame, some for wealth, some just for mere beauty, some for comfort, some for just security. The right thing is, make your choice, let your choice rest on deen, on religion, on piety, on character. If that, you make that the criterion, then every person will be happy. There won't be regrets. Yes, maybe a little bit of worldly comfort may have to be sacrificed, but you got to ask yourself where you want the comfort in your hand, or you want the comfort in your heart. If you choose the comfort in your hand, you may get it, but deep down there won't be any peace, solace and enjoyment. The right thing would be always to give preference of for deen over everything else, and then we will find ultimate happiness and ultimate success. So we learn this from the story and the regret of Abdullah bin Zam'ah, who was the brother of Sauda bin Zam'ah, bint Zam'ah radiallahu anha. Then we find also is that on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had actually thought and decided on divorcing Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha. Now when we come to this point, it's important for every one of us to understand. When we come to the aspect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divorcing her, so we must remember that every sahabi deserves the highest amount of respect. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that I asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala regarding the differences amongst my sahaba, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned to him, replied to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the difference of sahaba is like the stars, or the resemblance of the sahaba are like the stars in the sky. The stars in the sky are such that all of them are shining, but some shine brighter than others. Nevertheless, each one has its own unique shine, like that of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. Each of them have a shine. Yes, some may shine brighter than others. Some may hold a rank above others. Some may enjoy a virtue above others. But this doesn't give us the right to run any one of them down, to compare anyone. This is where we're going to be incorrect. So we respect everyone, like the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Some had ranks above others. Allah speaks about this in the Quran, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. The Anbiya alayhi wasalam, we've given ranks and higher ranks and virtue to some over others. Some Allah had direct conversation with, some Allah had raised them in rank, but our duty is to respect each one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding the Anbiya, لا تفضلوني على يونس بن متى. Do not even explain and extol my virtue over Yunus alayhi salam. We know what happened to Yunus alayhi salam. There was a miscalculation through which he thought that the punishment of Allah is coming before wahi could come to him and be sent to him. And as a result, he left the town, and we know Yunus alayhi salam was then swallowed by the fish, and he remained in that stomach of the fish for some time. As a result of that miscalculation that had taken place, nevertheless, we know Yunus alayhi salam is great, he's a Nabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest Nabi. Yet he says, don't explain my virtue in such a way, extol my rank in such a way, that you look down and you bring down the rank of Yunus alayhi salam. Don't look down at him at any time. Yes, maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest, his rank is the highest, but at no time do we have permission to run down or speak ill of Yunus alayhi salam in any way. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us regarding this, and even amongst the Anbiya, respect all, love all, have reverence for each one. But don't praise one in such a way that you bring down the other. So with the Azwaj Mutahharat as well, they were also Sahaba. They were blessed to be the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world, and they will be his wives in Jannah. They will be his wife. They will be with him in Jannah. So we have no right to comment against anyone. Yes, there may have been differences. There may be differences in ranks. There may be difference in age. There may be difference in various things. But you and I do not have the right to compare. Remember, these people were blessed. From all the women that the world had ever produced, these women, these few women, were chosen to be the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We respect every one of them. We don't run down any one of them. We show them all the highest respect. So for some reason, there was some disagreement, because of which the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wished to divorce Hazrat Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu anha for something that may have occurred. Sauda radiallahu anha heard of this and she was affected. She understood the honor of being with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being his wife. And then she came up to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and she said, it was mentioned, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates, خَشِيَتْ سَوْدَىٰ أَن يُطَلِّقَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. She feared that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم may divorce her. Then she said, فَقَالَتْ لَا تُطَلِّقْنِي وَأَمْسِكْنِي. I request you, please do not divorce me. And keep me, hold me with you. Keep me as your wife. وَجَعَلْ يَوْمِي وَأَجْعَلُ يَوْمِي لِعَائِشَتَ. She says, and the day it's my turn, I know you also married to Aisha radiallahu anha. My turn, I will pass on to Aisha radiallahu anha. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy with this. He accepted this offer and proposal of hers, and he kept her as his wife because she wanted to be with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She never wanted to be separated. Hence, we understand a few lessons here, that she understood the great virtue of being with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and maybe Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't find something appropriate. When it comes to the aspect of divorce, sometimes our minds run that divorce, how come divorce was existent in the time of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum or in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So we should understand the divorce of today and the divorce then were two different things. Yes, if a situation reaches such that there is no solution, it's difficult to come to a solution and fix things, then it is permissible. A person is allowed to divorce in that situation, but divorce shouldn't be abused. It shouldn't be used as a tool, or it shouldn't be something where people just resort to for every little thing. Any little problem comes, then the home is broken, people are running helter-skelter, people are going in different directions. It's not something to be abused, but under an extreme circumstance, as in the aeroplanes or in the fighter jets, there's a thing called the eject button. So when there's an emergency, that will be touched, that will be employed in order to get out of danger. So here, if the danger is of that level, that there's no way out, Ibrahim alayhi salam also had advised his son Ismail alayhi salam to divorce his wife when he realized that there was a problem here that was difficult to fix. So Ismail alayhi salam divorced his wife. So talaq was prevalent, it did exist, but it wasn't abused. If it has to be done, then it can be done. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to, but it wasn't something that he just used to manipulate or to use people or to abuse people in different ways. We don't encourage it, but when there's no other resort, the only way is to get out of it through talaq and divorce, then there's this allowance in Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also thought of this, probably for whatever was the reason, whatever was the nature of the situation and the problem at hand. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not embark on the divorce after the request of Sauda radiallahu anha. She happily had given over. This is why some historians write that regarding this, the ayat was revealed, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَن يُصْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. When there's an issue, then there's no problem that they mutually reconcile, they reconcile, they come to an agreement, وَصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. And coming to an agreement is a wonderful thing. So this teaches us lessons as well. Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha made a request to continue and remain with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This teaches us when things sometimes go out of control and things get heated up, then the right thing to do, sometimes a husband is on the verge of divorcing or he's upset, or then the right thing to do is to look for a way to remain. Look for a way to remain if there's nothing going against the Shariat and the person can remain, then the person needs to look for a way and a solution going forward, how to take care of the marriage rather than letting the marriage go down the drain. Sauda radiallahu anha had something. She wanted to be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife. this may not be applicable exactly in our situation, but what we do learn from her incident is, rather than just responding, fighting, or becoming, sometimes in this age and time, someone wants to give a talaq, and then the wife is actually demanding, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. Take me out. Don't give me one, give me three. These are incorrect statements. A person shouldn't be doing this. First of all, in all possible ways, a person should try and make it work. Highs and lows, heat and cold in a marriage, it keeps happening. Things do get heated up at times. But what we need to do is refer to someone who can fix these issues. They are senior, pious ulama, elderly pious ulama who are available, and we can always refer to them. Hazrat Mufti Saab is here, Hazrat Mali Ilyas Saab is here, Mullah Abdul Haq Magda, and so many others in and around our town, our cities, our province, our country. We can refer to them rather than just letting things get broken and things get severed. We look for a way to bring it up. So Sauda radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, keep me. She looked for a way to bring this up and to keep it going rather than this marriage being sacrificed. So you and I also should think in a similar way, do whatever we can to keep the marriage brimming, to keep it going rather than letting it go to waste and get broken up. Then we find another incident is narrated regarding Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha, that on one occasion she was performing tahajjud salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be performing the tahajjud salah, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوِنْقُسْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا, sometimes half the night, sometimes three-quarter the night, sometimes a major part of the night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing tahajjud. Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha would join him, being the wife, being in the home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was engaging in good. So the wife is also engaging in the work that the husband is engaging in. Also a lesson for us, that any work, any good work, our husbands, our sons, our brothers are engaging in, we need to at least be of support. Sometimes we cannot be doing the work that they are doing, but the least we can do is support the work. This we find from Rasulullah, life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu was an excellent archer. And during the battles, he was an excellent shooter, he was a marksman. So he would have his bow, and at times he would have his shield in front of him. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be so close to Abu Talha that Abu Talha would be using one shield to protect himself as well as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whilst he's protecting Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he would also be shooting with his bow. When he shoots that bow and arrow, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would look over the shield to see where the arrow landed. The lesson muhaddithin extract from this hadith is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam could have fought, he had his sword, he had a bow, but in that situation, that current situation they were in, he probably never had his bow. But he was looking anxiously and supporting Abu Talha radiallahu anhu in shooting the bow, in engaging in that battle. When he shot, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked over to see where did the arrows land. So like this also, sometimes you and I cannot take part in the work that everyone is doing. But what we can do is, at least we support the work. So sometimes, people are engaging in good. They are busy in whatever work they can. If we cannot do the work they are doing, example, we cannot go for the salah, we cannot go for the jum'ah, we cannot go in jama'at, we cannot go for the ijtima, for example, but we can support them. We can encourage our men. We can drive them in that direction. And as a result of our support, this reward will come to us as well. So Sauda radiallahu anha noticed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing the tahajjud salah. She goes to join him in that tahajjud. And that the tahajjud is lengthy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah. The strength he got is incomparable to anyone's strength. So she says, she tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the next day, that you were in sajda, you were in ruku, as you were bowing, you took so long in that ruku that I feared that my nose was going to bleed. I was going to bleed from my nose because of that. Nevertheless, she still accompanied, she stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She supported him in the work that he did. This also is an important lesson for every one of us. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described a pious woman, then he explained that she possesses three qualities. What are the three qualities? Number one, إِذَا أَمَرَّهَا أَطَاعَتْهُ. When her husband instructs her, when he commands her, when he requests her, when he wants something done from her, then أَطَاعَتْهُ, she readily obeys. Number two, إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْهُ. Whenever he looks at her, then she pleases him in the way she appears. the way she comes before him, her looks are pleasing to him. In other words, she takes care of her body, takes care of her clothing. So, إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْهُ. And the third one, وَإِذَا غَابَ عَنْهَا حَفِظَتْهُ. When he's not there, then she takes special guard of everything that he owns, and all the belongings, and the home, and the kids, perfectly well. So this is the three qualities that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained for a pious woman. إِذَا أَمَرَهَا طَاعَتْهُ. When he instructs her, she obeys. إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْهُ. When he looks at her, she makes him happy. And وَإِذَا غَابَ عَنْهَا حَفِظَتْهُ. When he is not there for some reason, he has to leave for whatever work, then she doesn't deceive him. She takes full care of his possessions and everything that he has left behind. In trust with her, she takes full care of it. So this is what also we learned from Sauda radiallahu anha. She supported Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything that he had to do. In the salah also that he was performing, she joined him in it. That this is the sign of a healthy home. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wake up for the tahajjud salah, and he would also make an effort. He would also be concerned about the women folk in the home. مَيُّقِذُ صَوَاحِبَ الْحُجُرَاتِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who will get the women up? Who will get these people up? He also wanted them to be engaged in the work that he was engaged in as well. As far as her build was concerned, then historians write that Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha was tall. She was a little big in size. And this was her build, and that's why they say probably because of the build, she felt that little urge of maybe the nosebleed. But this was the build of Sauda radiallahu anha. And hadithin also say that in her, she had a bit of zarafat, meaning she has a little bit of humor. And at times she would make Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laugh. She would amuse him in different ways. This also is a way to keep our marriages healthy and happy, that we're not so serious, we're not so tight-lipped, that these things don't work. Whenever we have the opportunity, then we also have some jovial moments, some light moments, in order to keep things going, and as we want to, and to keep things healthy and fresh. Then also, another point to understand was that Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the woman who was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we discussed earlier on, there's a difference of opinion regarding when, who was married first, but the correct version is Sauda radiallahu anha was married. Aisha radiallahu anha was also married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the month of Shawwal. So both of them were married in Shawwal, and because the dates may have been so close, some may have confused one for the other, and some say Aisha radiallahu anha was married first after Khadija radiallahu anha, and some say Sauda, but the correct version is Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha was married before Aisha radiallahu anha, first after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. We make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to fill our lives with the lessons of these pious women, of these great women, the women who were chosen to be the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never to discriminate, never to differentiate, never to favor one over the other, and explain the virtue of one in such a way that we run down the others. Yes, we will explain each one's virtue, and we'll respect each one, but never will we look down at any one of them. Because obviously by doing this, we could be jeopardizing our own iman. We'll respect them with our hearts, we'll respect them with our souls, we will respect them with whatever we have, because this is what is going to be a means of also making Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to respect these sahaba, to follow in their footsteps, and to gain maximum benefit from their lives. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا لِلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ